Richie representing all the women today. All right, I believe we are good. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the next episode in our study of the Passover Haggadah in depth. This is the 39th consecutive episode in our studying the Haggadah. We're not even halfway through. We are at matzah. It's matzah time. In the previous episode, we talked about the blessings, the brachot. Which blessing comes first, which blessing comes second, why the blessings are arranged in that order, and we discovered that it's not really about the blessings alone. There's a number of different important events that are taking, one called motzi and one called matzah. So we made both blessings. And we're ready to eat the matzah. But before we eat the matzah, let's talk about matzah. Let's talk about matzah. What do you want to talk about? What should we say about matzah? What it tastes like? What it looks like? We're going to talk about why we sit down to eat the matzah. Not from a philosophical perspective, not from a mystical perspective, but from a legal perspective. In other words, where does this obligation come from? What kind of obligation is eating matzah? And especially because there are many mitzvot in today's day and age which we perform merely as enactments of what once was. And that's because the major ingredient is missing. What's the major ingredient? The Korban Pesach, the Beit HaMikdash, right? You can't have a Korban Pesach without a Beit HaMikdash. So if you don't have a Korban Pesach without a Beit HaMikdash, then in the end, you don't have what it takes. So this is the kind of thing we're going to talk about tonight. For those of us who are joining us online, shalom, welcome. If you're on Facebook, hop over to youtube.com/Rabbi Mendel Kaplan and subscribe, enable notifications so you know about this in the future as soon as we go live. And there's two reasons why you should be on YouTube rather than Facebook. The first is that you can ask questions. And I have a live chat, and I'm looking. I see those of you who have signed in and said shalom, and shalom back to all of you. So that's reason number one. And reason number two is I'm pretty sure that you get a better picture and better sound on YouTube. And let me remind all of you that RabbiKaplan.tv is alive and kicking. 24-6. Okay. So the Rebbe, in his commentary on matzah, addresses this very question. Is matzah something that we are biblically ordained to eat in today's day and age? Now, this in and of itself is a question that was hotly debated by the sages in the generations after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We have a record of this in the Gemara, in Masechet Psachim, on Daf Kuf Chof, on page 120, right in the middle of the page, the Gemara is going to record two opinions. So in the Rebbe's Haggadah, the Rebbe writes the following words, four words, Gam Bizman Hazeh De'oraita. In today's day and age also, it is biblical. It is biblical. And he sends us off to Psachim Kuf Chof Amad Aleph, Masechet Psachim, page 120, side A. So let's read from the Gemara. The Gemara right in the middle says, Omar Rava, the great sage Rava taught, Matzah bizman hazeh de'oraisa. Matzah in today's day and age is eaten by virtue of biblical ordination. It is a mitzvah asei min ha-Torah, he says. Maror, however, the bitter herbs, drabonon, that is only eaten out of rabbinic obligation. The Gemara says, really? Matzah applies biblically today. Emaror doesn't? Perhaps you'd like to explain the difference to me. Umayshno morer. And why would morer be any different? And he says, dichtiv, because it's written in the Torah, al matzot umerorim, that you should eat the korban Pesach wrapped in matzah and morer. It's the original sandwich. And so the Gemara observes, bizman de'ika Pesach, yesh morer. If there is a korban Pesach, then there's an obligation to eat bitter herbs. Ubizman de'leka Pesach, when there is no korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, leka morer, there is no matzah mitzvah of morer. So the Gemara says, okay, one second, I don't understand. You're telling me that morer doesn't have to be eaten today because morer is only supposed to be eaten. Bitter herbs are eaten as a condiment along with the Korban Pesach. That's very nice. The same pasuk says matzah. Matzah nami hu dechsiv. When it comes to matzah, the Torah says, al matzot umerorim. You're eating the Korban Pesach wrapped in matzah and morer. So the Gemara answers, matzah mihader hoder beikra, the Torah comes back to matzah. And the Torah says, be'erev tochlu matzot. In the evening, at night, you should eat matzot. Because the Torah says you should eat matzot at night. Why should we eat matzah? Because the Torah says to eat matzah. What about the Korban Pesach? The Torah doesn't mention anything about the Korban Pesach. The Gemara says, ba'erev tochlu matzot. It doesn't say ba'erev tochlu Korban Pesach and matzah and moror. It says tochlu matzot. This is the opinion of Rav. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov disagrees. He said, echad zeh ve'echad zeh derabbanan. And the Gemara goes off on a whole discussion of what's Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Achab, Rabbi Yaakov's reasoning, and Rav's reasoning, and the Gemara kind of comes to its conclusion when it says, Tanya kavasei de Rav. Now, we're not learning the Gemara, this is not a Talmud class, I'm not going into the details of the Talmud with you, but I'm just telling you that the Gemara says, indeed, we learned like Rav. And the Gemara brings a second drasha, a drasha about 6 days the Torah says to eat matzah, and then on the seventh day, there should be a day of cessation of work, a day on Vatzeret. And the question then becomes 6 days and 7 days, but Passover is 7 days. So why does the Torah separate 6 days and then talk about a seventh day? And we have a fascinating methodology of how we learn called Klal and Uprat. And anyway, the Gemara says that the bottom line is we might think that one is not obligated to eat matzah, but allowed to eat matzah, should you desire to eat matzah. And the Gemara says, Talmud leimer be'erev teichlu matzais, hakosov kuvo'ohi choiva. The Torah makes it obligatory. And because the Torah makes it obligatory, one is always required by dint of biblical ordination to eat matzah. Now, there's an interesting point, this interesting sidebar, that even in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, somebody who didn't bring the Korban Pesach was still obligated to eat matzah. And even Rabbi Achab, Rabbi Yaakov would agree with that. So if Rabbi Achab, Rabbi Yaakov also agrees that in time of the Beis HaMikdash there were people who ate matzah without Korban Pesach, why does he dispute Rav's opinion in today's day and age? So the Minchas Chinuch asks this question, and the Minchas Chinuch says that it's a gzeirah ketakatuv, that when the Korban Pesach is eaten, that's when you have to eat matzah. In other words, when the electromagnet is live, when you're plugged in, the Beis HaMikdash is there, and the Shechina is there, and we're doing these mitzvahs, and there's Korban Pesach being eaten, even if you can't eat the Korban Pesach, you still need to eat matzah. You're ritual impure, I'm sorry, you can't eat Korban Pesach, but you still need to eat matzah. You didn't make it to Yerushalayim, you can't have Korban Pesach, a matzah you still need to eat. Korban Pesach is extant. But in today's day and age, where there is no Beit HaMikdash, and there is no Korban Pesach, there is no biblical mitzvah. There are many mitzvahs like this. Mitzvahs that we perform today because the rabbis ordained that we do so. Okay. So the Gemara is pretty clear. It's pretty clear. What's the halacha? What do we say? So the easiest thing to do is let's take a look and see what do the codifiers say about this. So the first place we're going to go to is the Rif, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfasi, the Rif or the Alfas, who rewrote the Gemara only in what we call halachic prose, removing the discussion, the Talmudic arguments and analysis. He says, Omar Rava Matzah bizman hazeh deoraita. Matzah in today's day and age, biblical. And he says, gives us a shortened version of the arguments, and he says, Dichtiv ba'erev tochlu matzot. Shmuel, can you do me a favor? Can you see who's playing music in the hallway? And ask them to please. Oh, am I the only one who hears it? I have a feeling the janitors are cleaning for Pesach. And it's the vent? There's an event. Oh. All right. If you're hearing music out there, I hope you enjoy it. All right. Now, the Rif does something very interesting, which the Argamara doesn't do. The Rif brings another proof that the halacha is you have to eat matzah on the night of Pesach biblically. How does the Rif prove it? The Rif says there is a statement that's made in the Jerusalem Talmud, in the Talmud Yerushalmi. And in the Talmud Yerushalmi, it says in the third chapter that if somebody takes an oath, makes an oath, and the oath, he says, I am not going to eat matzah. Not going to eat matzah. You like matzah? All right. Some people don't like matzah. He got angry at matzah. He had indigestion. He made an oath. I'm not eating matzah. I swear to God, I'm never eating matzah again. Does he have to eat matzah on Pesach? Now, let me explain something to you. Oaths, in general, are things that we were given by Hashem the right to make something prohibited for us. I could say, I don't want to have any more Dr. Pepper. I'm never drinking Dr. Pepper again. And if I make an oath like that, if I drink Dr. Pepper, I violated the Torah. But the Torah didn't violate Dr. Pepper. Nowhere does it say, lo tochlo Dr. Pepper. That's true. But I said it. Now, how about if I come along and say, I swear to God, I'm not going to eat pork. I wasn't allowed to eat pork before either. That's what we call a wanton or wasted oath. That's a sin. You're invoking Hashem's name for no reason. What if a person says, I swear I will not put on tefillin tomorrow? Is that a good oath? The answer is no, that's a wanton oath, because every single member of the Jewish people is already forsworn to put on tefillin. And therefore, since you made an oath which you are not allowed to make, because that's not one of the areas where you have freedom to choose or decide, that's already been decided, such an oath would not take root. But the Gemara says, if a person says, I am not going to eat matzah, he's not allowed to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. And you're saying, what do you mean? It's a mitzvah. Shvua shalei oichal matzah b'leile ha-Pesach. I swear I will not eat matzah on the night of Pesach. That's meaningless. Loka, he gets lashes for making a bad oath. And oichal matzah b'leile ha-Pesach. He has to eat matzah. What's the difference? So Rabbeinu Nissim, the Ran, whose commentary is printed alongside the Rif, the Rif's codification of Masechet Pesachim, the Ran says, I'll explain it to you. Shvua chola, we know that when it comes to a shvua, an oath, if the shvua is not that I swear I will eat pork, that can never work. A person could swear I'll eat chametz every day of my life. He's still not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. However, if you are mevatel, if you do away with a mitzvah, b'shev v'altase, which means stay put, I didn't do anything. I'm not going to do. I didn't do anything. I didn't technically do anything wrong. I didn't do anything. So if a person didn't do anything, since the Shavua takes root, am I allowed to eat matzah today? Biblically, yes. And I said I made an oath, I'm not going to eat matzah today. Am I allowed to eat matzah today? The answer is no. Why not? Because I'm bound by my oath. And tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after that. All of a sudden comes the night of Pesach. I've been verboten from eating matzah for the last 2 weeks. And suddenly, Pesach comes along, and I have an obligation, a Torah obligation to eat matzah. May I? The answer is no. Why? Because I'm under oath. I'm bound by my oath. But you can't make an oath on something that the Torah tells you to do or not to do. True, you cannot make an oath on something the Torah tells you not to do and say, I swear I'll eat pork. Can I eat it now? Of course not. But at the same time, if a person is going to make an oath which takes root, says the Ran, since the migoy de chayla a matzah de chol yemeis shana, since the oath applies to the matzah all year long, with the exception of the night of Pesach, so therefore it applies to the night of Pesach too. However, says the Ran, here when you made an oath not to eat matzah on the night of Pesach, your oath is meaningless. Why? Because you're making an oath on something that the Torah commands you to do. And the Rif says, this applies in today's day and age as well. And if so, it becomes clear from the Gemara in Shavuos that one is obligated to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. So our Gemara doesn't talk about this, but the Rif cross-references this Gemara. Very interestingly, in the codification of Rabbeinu Asher of the Rosh, which is just the next century, the Rosh writes something very similar. He says, you should know that the Talmud tells us, Omar Rava Bezman Azed Deoraita, Matzah is biblical, Maror is Drabonon, for it is written, Be'erev Tochlu Matzot. And then he says, and because we have Be'erev Tochlu Matzot, we know that one is committed by Torah, and we have the Yerushalmi and Shavuos Perek Gimel. And very interestingly, I don't know if the Rosh saw the Rif, but the Korban Asanul, who is a commentary on the Rosh, says exactly the same thing as the Ran. Migoy de chayla amatza b'shar yemeis hashono. So therefore, chayla nami amatza mitzvah. Because it applies to the matzah all year long, that's why it applies to the matzah of Pesach night, which is a mitzvah. However, if we're talking about somebody who makes an oath about the night of Pesach, his oath doesn't apply. So what do we see very clearly here? What do we see very clearly? It's a biblical mitzvah. What does the Rambam say? So the Rambam, in the laws of Chometz, so Matzah, in the sixth chapter, he opens by saying, Mitzvat Asei min HaTorah Lechol Matzah Beleil Chamisha Asar. It is a positive mitzvah in the Torah to eat matzah on the night of the 15th. How do we know? Shenemar Be'erev Tochlu Matzot. And the Rambam says, this is B'chol Makom U'B'chol Zman. Rambam changes it from the language of the Gemara, and he speaks about it in halachic prose, legal prose, and he says that this is applicable in every time and in every place. And then the Rambam, in his unique style, adds, V'lotolo achila zu b'korban Pesach. The Torah does not hinge this particular eating on a korban Pesach. Elazo mitzvah b'fnei atzma. This is an independent mitzvah. On the night of Pesach, we have an independent mitzvah. We must eat matzah. Why must we eat matzah? Because the Torah commands us to eat matzah. But we don't have a korban Pesach. That doesn't matter. The korban tells us, the Torah tells us to eat matzah. The Torah also tells us that our korban Pesach should be eaten with matzah. But the Torah tells us to eat matzah. Biblical mitzvah. So the Rambam's language is very clear. It's precise, halachic. When we take a look at, for example, the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, which I have somewhere here. The Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, Rav Moshe of Kusi, one of the Balei HaTosfos, he says in the positive mitzvah number 40, Mitzvat Aseh Min HaTorah Lechol Matzah Belil Tezvav, Shenema Ba'erev Tochlo Matzah, there's a positive mitzvah of the Torah to eat matzah on the 15th night of Nisan. As the Torah says, at night, one must eat matzah. B'chol makom u'v'chol zman. And the Smag, who quotes the Gemara, the Rambam does not quote Gemaras. The commentaries in the Rambam tell us where the Rambam got his rulings from, but the Smag does quote. He says, V'chein Omar Rava. Indeed, Rava says, a Masechet Pesachim, page 120, Bizman hazeh deoraita. Ve'eno teluya ba'achilat Pesach. It does not hinge on the eating of the Pesach. And as the Minchas Chinuch would explain it to you, it doesn't hinge on somebody eating Korban Pesach. Ela zo mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Here he uses the same Maimonidean language. It is a mitzvah in and of itself. All right, so this is very easy. It's very clear, right? So a lot of ink is spilled in this already. We have a Gemara, and we have the Rif, and we have the Rosh, and the commentaries on the Rif and the Rosh. We have the Rambam and the Samag. All of the major codifiers that Rishonim are telling us, the Samag is a codifier of mitzvot. He tells you what are the 613 mitzvot, Sefer Mitzvot's Gadol. The codifiers will tell us halacha. Why do we have to eat matzah on the night of Pesach? Because the Torah says to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. The Torah says. Yeah, okay. So now, what does this make? What is this mitzvah called? What is the fact that you have to eat it on a particular night? What does that make it? It makes it a time-bound mitzvah. Also known as a mitzvat asei shehazman grama. It is a positive mitzvah that is triggered by a particular time. Aha. If it's triggered by a particular time, who should be exempt? Who should be exempt? Women. Because Jewish women are not obligated for mitzvot that are triggered by time. It's a mitzvah taseh shazman grama. So the Rebbe adds in his commentary that this applies to hein anashim vehein nashim. It applies to men and women equally. But it's a positive mitzvah that's time bound. Yes, that's true. Take a look at the Gemara at Masechet Pesachim on page 43 on Daf Mem Gimel. What does the Gemara say over there? The Gemara tells us, I would think, Sakadai Techamino, that since the Torah tells us we shouldn't eat chametz for 7 days and we should eat matzah, maybe if you're not obligated in eating matzah, then you're not obligated in avoiding chametz. And since a woman is not obligated in a time-bound mitzvah, she can have pizza, bagels, and pasta. Torah says, Gemara says, no, it doesn't work that way. And the Gemara demonstrate how it's exactly the opposite. A woman is not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. And the Gemara says that because we say she's Isra Beluhu Bebal Toichal chametz, since she is included in the prohibition, which the Gemara proves she is included in the prohibition of not eating chametz, Isra Benami Lachilas Matzah. She's also included in the consumption of matzvah. So this is a mitzvah that is equally applicable to men and women. Both men and women must eat matzah on the night of Pesach. And this goes like the drasha of Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar, that it says, Noshim chayavot ba'achilat matzah dvar Torah. Women are obligated by biblical ordination, dvar Torah. Because it says, lo tochel alav chametz, and anybody who's not allowed to eat b'bal chametz, yeshno ba'achilam. Rashi, in his commentary, gives us a little bit of background, clarifies things. I want to share the language of Rashi. Rashi says, mitzvat asei shazman grama, a time-bound or time-triggered mitzvah. He says, nafkelon b'perek hamed kedushin. We learned this in the first chapter of Masechet Kedushin. It's on page 29. The noshim p'turot, women are exempt from this. So Rashi says, kamash malon, from this we can see that since the mahad muzhores al chometz, since from the word kol, everybody is proscribed from chometz, the kivon de mizhorot al lav de chometz, chayavot ba'asei, since they are proscribed from the negative mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat chometz, then it's included in the positive mitzvah of eating matzah. When is this? Laila harishon, on the first night of Pesach. First, af al gaf, dizman groma, even though it's time-bound. As Rashi says, hoyol v'yeshno b'bal toichol chometz, since the prohibition of do not eat chometz applies to men and women equally, nafkelon mikol ochel chometz, that yeshnom b'makom ochel mitzvah. Because Torah puts chometz and matzah together, so if you're not allowed to eat chometz, you have to eat matzah. Very clear. Very clear. So now we hear, once again, the Gemara emphasizing that it is Dvar Torah. Eating mitzvahs, eating matzah, is a biblical ordination. Incidentally, if we take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, and just to simplify things, I'll take you to the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tov Ayin Beis, in Sif Chaf Hei, the Alter Rebbe says just rephrases these words using the verbiage of the earlier codifiers and the commentaries. Al-Tareba, in his unique style, he weaves a tapestry. He says that you must know that when it comes to eating matzah on the night of Pesach, everybody is obligated. Bachilat matzah, when it comes to eating matzah, hein the woman are chayavot min ha-Torah. Why? Lefi shehuksha mitzvat aseh shalachilat matzah, because the positive mitzvah of eating matzah is juxtaposed lemitzvat lo taseh shalachilat chametz, to the negative mitzvah of don't eat that which is risen, fermented. So from this we can see, kishem shahanashim muzharot alo taseh shalachilat chametz, just as women are proscribed from eating chametz, so too, kach hein muzharot al mitzvat aseh shalachilas matzah. So many indications that the eating, consumption of matzah is a biblical mitzvah, yes? Ask a ridiculous question. On Yom Tov, is a person obligated to have a Yom Tov meal? Yeah. What do you have usually on Yom Tov? What do you have Friday night? Chicken, yeah, okay. But for before, your husband made kiddush?
Yeah.
Challah. You had matzah? Why? Why should you have matzah? You have challah. Right? We are very careful not to eat matzah for a whole month before. Really, the sages prohibited it. Erev Pesach, we do it a whole month. Why? Because we want to eat matzah with gusto. Matzah is hard to eat with gusto. It's not exactly, you ever bite into succulent matzah? No, it was never created such a thing. It's brittle, it's dry, it's really kind of tasteless. So because its taste is not fantastic, you don't have sizzling, succulent matzah, but if you didn't have it for a month at least, it's something new. People like new things. And in general, an Erev Pesach, one's not supposed to eat a lot. So it's late at night, you haven't eaten much all day, your stomach is rumbling, and at this point, anything's going to taste good. Good, you'll eat the matzah with gusto. Fine. That's fine. So we haven't eaten matzah. And on Friday night, we had challah. That's good. You have challah. What do you do when Erev Pesach is Shabbat? It's a big problem. Why? Because you have to have challah. But you're not allowed to eat matzah. So you'll have challah. Yeah, but you have to burn the chametz. How are you going to burn the chametz? So lucky for us, the halacha is you don't have to actually burn it. You could be mefazes v'zeir l'ruach. You can get rid of it by crumbing it and throwing it out into the wild blue yonder, or you can flush it down the toilet, which is exactly what we do. Or what I figured out 2 years ago when it was Erev Pesach is that you can use soft pitas, like the soft wraps, hamotzi wraps. It doesn't leave any crumbs. It was brutal to eat that stuff, but you had to eat it in the morning, right before. You had to get up early in the morning, daven quickly, and eat it before you're not allowed to eat chametz anymore. Why do we do that? Because you have to eat bread on Shabbat and Yom Tov. So that's kind of like a ridiculous question. You're coming along and telling me, you must eat matzah because the Torah says you have to eat matzah. You have to eat matzah because you can't eat bread. And you have to have bread, or the equivalent, on Yom Tov night. What do you mean there's a mitzvah to eat matzah? It's Yom Tov. It's a mitzvah to have a meal. If it's a mitzvah to have a meal, you have to eat matzah because it's Pesach and you have no other choice. So what do you have this whole discussion? And the Gemara's arguing, is it biblical, is it not biblical? What do you mean? It's biblical because it's Yom Tov and you have to have Lechem Mishnah. We talked about that in the previous episode, the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah. By the way, the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah is a big part of motzi, which leads into matzah. So if I have a mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah, the only way to have Lechem Mishnah is matzah. You can't have bread. You can't have challah or bagels. You can't have that. The only way is matzah. So what is the discussion even over here? Are women obligated to eat matzah or they're not obligated to eat matzah? Well, they're obligated not to eat chametz and hukshu. The Torah says it's a leisaseh and it's hukash. It's juxtaposed. So just like it's a negative mitzvah, so it's a positive mitzvah. Hello? And if it wouldn't say anywhere, the Erev Teichlu Matzahs, you wouldn't eat matzah on the night of Pesach? Of course you would. Why would you? Because it's Yom Tov, and the only bread you can eat is matzah. This is what we call a klutz kasha. You know what a klutz is? It's like a clumsy question. It's like, come on, that's ridiculous. Well, okay, it's ridiculous, fine. Maybe. What's the answer? It's not like an elegant question. It's like putting a spoke in the wheels. Everything is so beautiful. We have a Gemara and we have a Rif, and the Rif cross references the Yerushalmi and the Rosh and the Ran, and everybody's having a party. And the Korban Asano gives us the same reason. They didn't speak to each other or maybe see each other's writings, came to the same conclusion. The Rambam writes it in his unique way, and the Samag, and then everything is great. But it's a non-starter. The whole discussion never should have happened. Because whether you say there's a pasuk beref techlu matzah, or you don't say there's a pasuk, whether a woman is obligated to eat matzah or not obligated to eat matzah, we're all obligated to eat matzah anyway, because there's nothing else to eat. And you have to have a seuda. You have to wash for yom tov. And when you eat, you have to eat a kazayit anyway. So if you eat, you have to eat a kazayit. So what's the question? The whole thing is a non-starter. Did you ever think of that? It's like a, hey, hello? So the Rebbe says, this question is actually asked by the great Rabbeinu Nissen in his commentary, Masechet Sukkah. How do we talk about some Masechet Sukkah? Why wouldn't it be Masechet Pesachim? Well, there's a very interesting connection to the mitzvah of eating matzah on the night of Pesach and the mitzvah of eating challah on the night of Sukkot, because the Gemara tells us that there is a juxtaposition between the 15th of Nisan to the 15th of Tishrei. And just as we have to eat matzah on the night of Pesach, we have to have challah on the first night of Sukkot. What if it's a monsoon? What if it's raining? You still have to eat a kazayis of challah. On the night of Pesach, you must eat. Night of Sukkot, you must eat. These are the two nights you must eat. So the Ran asks this very question in his commentary on the Rif in Perek HaYoshon, which happens to be Daf Yud Beis in the Ran, in the Rif. On Amud Beis, the Ran says, hello, I don't understand what's going on over here. Why are we having this whole discussion about the first night of Pesach juxtaposed to Sukkot? And we have a Ganser Maiser that you must eat. Because you have to eat anyway. You have to eat anyway. So the Ran says, no. You don't have to eat anyway. Not so simple. He says, for Nira, the Mashachidish HaKosuf, the novelty, the unique lesson and teaching of the verse, Belel Yom Tov Harishon Shel Pesach, that about the first night of Pesach, Midikatav be'erev tochlu matzot, since it says in the night you eat matzot, hainu lechaivo bedin matzah re'uya, to obligate you to eat proper matzah. What's improper matzah? If it's chametz, you're not allowed to eat it. What's improper matzah? If it wasn't made right, then it's chametz. So you can't eat it anyway. How about chocolate-covered matzahs? Can't do that. Not on the night of Pesach. It'd be a great Seder. We had chocolate-covered matzahs. It's a very nice idea. Not for the night of Pesach. What about something called matzah ashira, rich matzah? This is what they call in English today egg matzah, which, by the way, you're not really allowed to eat. Ashkenazi Jews are for sure not allowed to eat it unless they're sick and infirm. But usually on the box, they put it says, look in the Shulchan Aruch in this place where it says if you're sick and infirm. And most people, they look at the box, they see an extra two or three or five words in Hebrew, they think it's even more kosher. Right? It's a lot of ignorance. But you're not supposed to eat egg matzah. How did they make egg matzah, by the way? The Manashevitz box shows an egg, but it's not necessarily. They put juice inside. It's soft. It's tasty. It's not chametz, necessarily. Or it could be a matzah with all kinds of spices and herbs. It's kosher for Pesach. It's not kosher for the first night. Why? Because it has to be lechem oni. It has to be poor person's bread. And poor people don't get spices and chocolate. They don't get chocolate. You're barely subsisting, you're barely staying alive, you're eating the very, very bare minimum ingredients, flour and water. That's it. So the Ran says, what the halacha of Yom Tov requires wouldn't require such matzah. In simple terms, What happens if a person would have, for Yom Tov night, chocolate-covered matzah? Not on Pesach. The next Yom Tov, the last day of Pesach, he has chocolate-covered matzah. Forget that we don't do it because we don't like to make our matzah wet, fine. But in theory, or even Hasidim who make their matzah wet on the last day, what if he glazes the matzah with chocolate for the last night? Could you make a lechem mishnah? Could you make a bracha on your glazed chocolate or honey glazed matzahs? Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. Even we don't make our matzah wet the last night of Pesach. I haven't seen it done, but you could. You could do it. Do you fulfill the mitzvah of Seudat Yom Tov? The answer is yes. Would you fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on the night of Pesach? The answer is no. Why? Says the Ran, because it's not matzah ru'uya. The ilum midin yom tif, yoytze b'chol shehu pas. Anything which is bread or bread-like. Afilu b'matzah shira. Even if it is rich matzah. So Skippy's YouTube is asking a question. So we're not allowed to have egg matzah on the night of the Seder. We're allowed to eat it on Chol HaMoed, or I'm not out. Skippy, I don't know who you are. If you're old and infirm, I don't mean to offend you, and you got no teeth, and that's the matzah you can eat, then halachically you would be allowed to eat it on Chol HaMoed, and even be the next day on Yom Tov. But on the night of Pesach, egg matzah doesn't work. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't know this. But it doesn't work. And ideally, of course, at the Seder night, we shouldn't just be eating flour and water matzah, we should be eating shmurah matzah. Hand-baked shmurah matzah, baked by a member of the Jewish people who believes in God, Torah, and in the mitzvahs of Pesach. And it's made holy, and it's a matzah's mitzvah. And it is holy. When you eat it, it fortifies your faith. But that's for a different class, when we get Kabbalistic on matzah. Now we're getting technical on matzah. So here we had all these things that say, why do you have to eat matzah? Because the Torah says you have to eat matzah. I ask you a simple question. You have to have bread anyway. And there isn't any other bread. Says the Ran, not so simple. There is other bread. It's not chametz, but it's not the matzah you have to eat on the night of Pesach. Why not? Because it's been enriched. And matzah ashira, enriched matzah, whether flavoring or other additives or a layer of glaze, such a matzah doesn't work. Verstehst? Okay. So that's the first thing. Then the Rebbe says, the truth is, it's not so simple. You don't even need the answer of the Ran that you maybe could have used non-Pesach matzah. So the Chiddush, the novelty, is that the Bible, that the Torah tells you have to eat matzah. Because Yesh Eimrim, there is a very strong opinion in Halacha that the Chiyov of Pas, that eating bread b'yom tov, ain't yalem divrei seifrim, it's only a rabbinic mitzvah. And if it's only a rabbinic mitzvah, yeah, I have to have a meal. It's Yom Tov. I have to have a meal. Yeah, rabbinically, I have to have a meal, not biblically. Whereas on the night of Pesach, I'm biblically ordained to eat matzah. So you're just going to say, why does the Torah have to tell me to do this? I would have had to do it anyway. The answer is, I would not have to do it anyway. The rabbis told me to have a meal. The motzi is very nice, but that's a rabbinic thing. The matzah is biblical. Which, of course, in view of that, makes our previous episode even more interesting. So we're focusing on the motzi, lecha mishnah, before the matzah, where one is biblical and one is rabbinic, and we're overriding the biblical to do the rabbinic mitzvah first. But nonetheless, this is the toder v'sheni toder, the regular, the typical, and the unusual, which the regular comes first, which we learned about in the previous episode. So this is here, it gets very, very interesting now, my friends. Where do we see that the meal of Yom Tov is not something which we are biblically obligated to do? So I'm going to take you now to the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch, Simin Tov Kuf Choftes, chapter 529 of Shulchan Aruch. This is after the laws of Pesach. This is what's called the laws of Yom Tov. But before I take you to the laws of Yom Tov, I want to take you to the laws of Shabbos. So listen to this. In the opening halachot of Shabbat, which is Simen Reish Mem Beis, chapter 242, he tells us, Shnei Dvarim, there are two things which are spoken about with regard to Shabbat by the prophets. The prophets told us two things about Shabbat. And what were those two things? Kavod and Oneg. They told us about honor. We have to honor the Shabbat. And they told us we have to delight in the Shabbat. As it is written, V'karata l'Shabbat Oneg. What should we call Shabbat? A day of misery and sadness? No, a day of pleasure and delight, a delightful day. Shabbat is supposed to be a delightful day. That's Isaiah chapter 58, verse 17 says it very clearly. Verse 13. That's how it's supposed to be. L'kdosh Hashem mechubad. For the honor of Hashem, it should be honor, dignity. You've glorified the Shabbat. Now, the Rebbe says, Ikron min haTorah. Of course, the root source of all this is from the Torah. Because the Torah calls Shabbat, it's included in what's referred to as Mikra'e Kodesh. When we have in the Torah the Parsha, which speaks about the various festivals, the holidays of the Jewish people in the book of Leviticus, 23rd chapter, Parshas Emor, it first, before it talks about the actual holidays, talks about Shabbat. And it's included in Mikra'e Kodesh, as Nachmanides explains at length in the Chumash. So what does Mikra Kodesh mean? What does it mean, a convocation, a calling of holiness? Our sages explained, L'kadsho, L'chabdo, to honor it, to sanctify it, B'ksus Nikia, with what we call Shabbat clothes, U'la'ango, and we should delight in it. How does one delight in Shabbat? Achila, b'shtia, you have a meal, a repast, the people getting together to eat. And then the Alter Rebbe adds that this business of Mikra Kodesh may be referring, according to other opinions, to the cessation of work, but the Kavod of Shabbat and Yom Tov, the Oneg, is entirely rabbinic. So it has a biblical source, or it's entirely rabbinic, but that's about Shabbat. Why is it spoken of when we talk about Shabbat? Because Shabbat's included in the holidays. Okay, so now let's go back to, and we'll come back to the Alter Rebbe in a minute, to Reish Mem Beis. Let's go back to Tuf Kuf Chav Tes 529. The Alter Rebbe says, Kishem Shem Mitzvah L'Chabed Et HaShabbat, just like it's a mitzvah to honor the Shabbat, Ula Anga, and to delight in it, Kach So Too, Kol Yamim Tovim, all the festivals of the Jewish people. And he quotes the verse, L'kadosh Hashem Mechubad, for the honor of Hashem, the holiness of Hashem, we have to honor it and bring dignity. V'chol Yamim Tovim, all the festivals of the Jewish people, it says, Mikra Kodesh. That's in the opening salvo of chapter 529. Paragraph 5, these two mitzvot, Kavod va'oneg, says the Alter Rebbe, hein mitzvot midivrei sofrim. They're rabbinic mitzvot. There are no biblical mitzvot after the close of the Chumash. Only the Pentateuch, only the five books of Moshe have 613 mitzvot. There are no mitzvot in the book of Isaiah. There are descriptions. There are this clarification, elaboration, elucidation, but no new mitzvot. So they are rabbinic mitzvahs, mifurashin al yedei hanaviim, clarified, elucidated by virtue of the prophets. So the question was, you're going to be eating bread anyway. I said, well, maybe, but not biblically. The chiddush, the novelty here is that we are biblically obligated to eat bread. Oh, that's new. That's a new story. And that's why we spend so much time explaining why we have to eat matzah on the night of Pesach. Okay. And if you take a look in the Rambam, in the laws of Yom Tov, in the sixth chapter, the Rambam says, something very interesting. First of all, you should know that the Rambam's opinion is that all of this is rabbinic. He says, Abo nem dvarim nemru b'Shabbat. Four things are said about Shabbat. Shtayim in Torah, two are from the Bible. That's Zachor and that's Shamor. Making Kiddush and Avdolah. And that's the idea of not doing work. And then there's Shnayim Medivir Seferim, the two rabbinic ones. Nispar Shuai Dei Nevi'im. They were explained by the prophets. Kavod V'oneg. That's rabbinic. That the Rambam says very, very clear. Now, if we go to the laws of Yom Tov, and we go to chapter 6, over there, the Rambam tells us something very interesting. In chapter 6, Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16, the Rambam says, Kishem shemitzvah lechabed Shabbat ola ango, just like it's mitzvah to honor Shabbat and to give it pleasure, to delight in Shabbat, kach kol yamim tovim. And he says, I already explained what kavon and onig means. So it's rabbinic. On Pesach night, something changes. We go biblical. The Rebbe says, but there's a little problem with this thesis. We may still need the Ran. And I'll tell you why, he says. Because if you go back to Reish Mem Beis, it says, Aval, Oneg, V'asimcha b'yom tov, the oneg, the joy, and the pleasure of yom tov, b'ma'achal u'mishteh, with eating and drinking, is min ha-Torah. It's biblical. So, here it says, not because of oneg, but because of simcha. So it is biblical. Well, the Alter Rebbe says, in the Kunter Sachrin, what is the eating which is called oneg, which is simcha? He says, I'll tell you. Basar and yayin, meat and wine. It doesn't say bread. But the Rebbe says it's a tzaruch iyun k'tzas. So what's the tzaruch iyun? The Alter Rebbe clearly says it's talking about bread. So very interestingly, the Alter Rebbe, the Rebbe here introduces us to an opinion of Rav Yehuda. And this opinion of Rav Yehuda is brought in the commentary of the Rosh in Mesechet Brachot. And it goes like this. This is maybe how we're going to explain the Alter Rebbe also. It goes like this. The Rosh says in the seventh chapter of Mesechet Brachot, it appears to Nira L'Rabbeinu Yehuda, the chayiv odom lechel pas b'yom tev, a person's obligated to eat bread on yom tev. Why? Mishum simcha. Because on yom tev there's a mitzvah of v'samachta. What does v'samachta mean? Simcha, joy. You'll rejoice. So you have to rejoice. How do you rejoice? You rejoice with a meal. V'ikar achilo hu lechem. A meal always includes bread, a real meal. Have you ever been to a wedding or a big formal dinner where they didn't serve bread? They said, we're all on a diet. Yeah, I know. People serve bread. Come to a fancy restaurant. What's on the table right away? The bread is on the table. A meal means bread. So because that's the case, you always have to have bread then biblically, because there's something called simcha. Maybe not kavod and oneg, but simcha. Which brings us back to our original question. So there is a biblical obligation to eat bread, and you can eat bread. So what are you going to eat? Matzah. The Ma'adana Yom Tov, which is a commentary on the Rosh, says something very interesting. He says, but what about this business, ein simcha ella b'basar? We say that simcha is with meat. It says meat, doesn't say bread. So he says, yeah. The main thing of a meal, he says, the main achila is lechem. And he says, the simcha is the meat. But you got to eat the meat with the bread. Let me make it very simple. A lot of people like a corned beef sandwich. How about leave the bread out, just have corned beef? Doesn't taste so good. People don't want the burger, they want the burger and the bun. They want the hot dog and the bun. You want the beef, but if there's no beef, that famous commercial, where's the beef? Just eating buns is no fun. But eating buns with burgers, now you're talking. If the burger is so small, where's the beef? If there's only beef, where's the burger? Where's the bun? So you have to have the sandwich. What is the person eating? He says, what are you eating? I mean, bread? No, I'm having meat. I'm having a corned beef sandwich. It's corned beef like this and two little pieces of bread on either side. So there's a lot of corned beef, but a little bit of bread makes a big difference. It's just the way it is. People, they eat it a sandwich, so you have bread, and along with the bread, you eat meat. So the Madani Yom Tov explains that the meat is eaten to give us the simcha, and it's a nice meal. And the bread is the condiment that frames or makes the meat enjoyable. So this is a very interesting letter from the Rebbe that's printed in Igros Kodesh, Chelek Hei. Page National Vov, and I actually spoke about this letter in our class on Purim. We talked about the Purim feast, if you have to wash. So the Rebbe says that the Alter Rebbe seems to use similar verbiage to the Magen Avraham with regard to repeating the Birchat HaMazon a second time, or not having to repeat it a second time if you forgot to say Al HaNisim. And the Magen Avraham uses that as a proof that you aren't actually obligated to wash and have bread at Seudat Purim. And the Rebbe says, the Alter Rebbe uses similar language. However, there is a monkey wrench here. And the monkey wrench is that elsewhere, the Alter Rebbe does say a meal means bread. Where is this? In Hilchos Birchos HaMazon, in chapter 188, Kuf Peches, he says, B'Shabbatot V'Yamim Tovim Chayev Lechel Pat. You have to have bread. Shemavarchan olav birchat hamazon, bread that you make a birchat hamazon over. Because it says, v'karata ala shabbat oneg, and b'yom tov it says, v'samachta, v'ein oneg b'simcha, b'lo achilat lechem. Shehalechem hu ikar ha-su'uda, shekol su'uda nikra al shem ha-lechem. The lechem is the mainstay of the meal. If you have bread, it's called a meal. So even though the Alter Rebbe says when it comes to the eating, in going back to chapter 529, he goes on to say that it's meat and wine. He discounts the meat, and he says really the meat is referring to korbanot, but the wine, that still applies even in today's day and age. It says, yayin yishamach, wine gladdens and brings joy, so you have to drink wine on Yom Tov. But the bottom line is this. The concept of simcha necessitates wine and meat. But wine and meat is not wine and meat, like standing on the street corner eating wine and meat. It means a meal. And if it means a meal, bread's going to have to show up. The bread is not showing up as bread. The bread is showing up as a meal. The bread enables the meal. But either way, if I need to have a meal, which means I need to have bread, I'm still biblically obligated to have bread. If I'm biblically obligated to have bread, who cares why I have to eat the matzah? Am I eating the matzah because it's a meal, or am I eating the matzah because it's a matzah? So first of all, there's a big difference. If I was eating the matzah only for the meat, we'd eat the matzah later on. When we make a hamotzi, and we go to eat matzah, serve the fish right away. The fact that we eat the matzah, and you have to eat the whole matzah, the whole kezayit of matzah, the whole ounce of matzah, right away before you do anything else, and then you go on to eat the korach right away, the maror, and then the korach before you do anything else, means that it's a mitzvah in and of itself. So, but what about this idea that ultimately it is still obligatory? So here the Alter Rebbe, proves now, pulls a real powerful punch. And this is like what we call, like, this is the checkmate. The Alter Rebbe says that in the Shagas Aryeh in chapter 68, which is all about the obligation of Simcha on the night of Yom Tov, the Shagas Aryeh says, Hadavar Borur, it is clear, Leil Aleph, the first night of Yom Tov, Ein Mitzvah Simcha Noag Bamina Torah, there is no biblical mitzvah of Simcha. When is the biblical mitzvah of Simcha? Only on the last night of Yom Tov, the night that follows a day. As he says later, it says, Vahita ach sameach l'rabot l'el yom tov, achron, the last night of Yom Tov. He says, Mar ba'ani l'el yom tov acharon, sheyesh simcha lefanav, there is joy before it. It's the climax of joy. That's why you have to have a meal. However, umotzi ani l'el rishon, on the first night, I excluded she'ein simcha lefanav. You don't have joy before Yom Tov arrives. You have joy when Yom Tov arrives on the heels of Yom Tov. So it's a whole week of Pesach, a whole week of Sukkot. And now we're back to Yom Tov. And now I have an obligation to have a meal. Shema mino, ein mitzvah simchas noag b'leil Yom Tov rishon min ha-Torah. So this Shagas Aryeh proves to us conclusively that even if you want to say that the mitzvah of eating a meal on the night of Yom Tov is biblical, that would only be the last night of Yom Tov, not the first night of Yom Tov. And so, from every which way we have proven that eating matzah on the night of Pesach is actually a mitzvah. So why am I eating? Why am I eating? Is because it's a dinner. It's a dinner date. It's a dinner. It's a date for a dinner. The answer is no. I'm not eating matzah because it's a dinner, because I have a date to eat dinner. I'm eating matzah because it's a sacred mitzvah to eat matzah. You have a question, Shmuley? Excellent question. The Simachta B'Yichah does apply to Shavuot.
Where would you have the meal then in
where would you have the meal? On Shavuot, you have to eat meat. On Shavuot, you have to eat meat. First of all, the mitzvah of a Simachta B'Yichah of meat is clear in Shulchan Aruch, is the meat of a korban. So the mitzvah of eating a dairy meal is during the day of Shavuot, and the point is to have two meals. There are some in the Litvish community who eat a dairy meal on the night of Shavuos, but that's because the Shagas Aryeh says that the night of Shavuos is not biblically obligated to eat Simcha. The Simcha only applies on the last night of Yom Tov. It would apply during the day. But for sure, during the day of Yom Tov, you have to have a proper meat meal, unless you're a vegetarian. That would be a different story. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to eat the korban. So on Shavuot, Taka wouldn't apply at night. It only applies during the day. And now we have clarity. Now we understand why we're making such an emphasis on the issue of eating this mitzvah. So you have to understand, my friends, and a lot of people don't get this. They sit down, they have matzah and maror and salad and fish and brisket. And manischewitz, of course, only holiest, the best, the finest, you know, and Passover puff cake and cream cake. Everybody's eating everything together. No. My dear friends, the point is, when you sit down to eat matzah, you're doing something sacred now. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah of the Torah. Like listening to the shofar, like being in the sukkah. It's a mitzvah. So you got to focus on the mitzvah element first. So motzi comes to matzah, a biblical mitzvah. Maror, a rabbinic mitzvah. Korach, if the sages would have paskin like Hillel, they probably would have made Korach with matzah to make a maror with matzah. Probably would have done it that way. So in case the halacha is like Hillel, that's how you have to eat, then in that case, that's how we eat the maror. So you have two kinds of maror. They have the plain maror and the Korach maror. And then you can have Sudat Yom Tov. But this is not a dinner date. This is a sacred consumption. And the Rebbe tells us something very interesting. In view of all this, everything makes perfect sense, he says. That the bottom line is, you would only be obligated to have a meal rabbinically, and therefore, with the exception, of course, of the first night of Sukkot. First night of Sukkot, that's the novelty. That at the first night of Sukkot, one has to have a meal. But over there, Shmuley, it's not mitzad the meat, it's mitzad the pas. Because we learn it from the mitzvah of eating matzah. The Rebbe says that it's very strange that in the Shailos HaTshuvos of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he emphasizes that this only applies to Pesach and not to Sukkot. And in the Hashmotas, which is the kind of the things that were the missing pieces that were added in later, it's, he says bepshitas that pat is not connected to simcha. So the Rebbe says tzarech iyun ktsas. This needs to be a little bit better understood. The Rebbe says it's not, this is not the time for discussing the finer details of whether simcha means pata. To me, actually, it seems somewhat explanatory if we use the Madani Yom Tov. The Madani Yom Tov says you don't eat meat because you don't eat the bread because of the bread, you're eating the bread because of the meat. So the bread is not a din in simcha, the meat is a din in simcha. It's only that in order to eat meat, you have to have a sandwich. So the sandwich is there for because you eat the bread. Because eating the meat, you have to have a sandwich. But the main thing was the corned beef, the burger. The bun was incidental. The bun wasn't the most important part. The most important part was the meat that you were eating. At any rate, this should have clarified for you how eating matzah is a mitzvah. And therefore, practically speaking, when it comes to eating matzah, do not talk, do not tell jokes, do not take a drink of water, don't do anything. You make a bracha, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, you make another bracha, al achilat matzah, eat matzah. When you finish eating an ounce of matzah, in less than 6 minutes, then you can relax for a second. Then go straight to your morah, because you have another mitzvah to do. And then go straight to your korech, because really the bracha of matzah goes on that matzah as well, but that's for a different shiur. At any rate, I hope that this has clarified how we will view matzah and the reverence and the sacred reality that the matzah represents, a mitzvah of eating actual sacred consumption, not just an obligation of a dinner date. And when we eat matzah, of course, a lot of wonderful things happen, but that we'll talk about in future episodes of our Haggadah in Depth. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, reminder, if you haven't yet subscribed, please do so and enable notifications. RabbiKaplan.tv, you can find all the classes there. And hopefully this year we'll be eating the matzah with the maror, with the Korban Pesach, and the third Beis HaMikdash. B'mheira u'b'yameinu amen. Thank you again for joining.